and Houston Apollo 10, we're coming right back over landing site 1 in all the places. Say it's just starting to look like we said before, NASA Road 1. We can sure pick out every little crater now. Over.
I'll bet you can. I'll bet it's looking pretty familiar by now, too, isn't it?
Yeah, we're coming right up on landing site 1 here. You can look straight ahead. There's masculine bay leading up to 130, 129. I have Mokey over on the left and out there the plains, the Oklahoma Hills on the left and the landing site.
Jack Schmidt's still here tonight. He says you guys are overtrained, reading off names like that. Hey, listen, Snoopy's about 6,000 miles above you, still going. And we're still getting data on him.
Well, good. That sounds great. Sounds like you got some fire left in those batteries. Oh, we're really glad to see you get all the data on that acid burn. Over.
Okay, Tom, just wake up now. It looks
you
like...
want to do, sir?
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, Tom, on your wake up in the morning, well, on Snoopy first, they say we're expecting the power on those batteries to last till about 120 hours, so we got about another 10 hours worth of tracking, it looks like. And on your wake up in the morning, what it looks like now, the best plan is to wake you up just before LOS on Rev 23, which would be at right about 121 hours. And we'll give you a little data right away, enough to get you through the next rev, and that'll give you the backside to get woke up and dressed and break out some chow and stuff.
Okay, so we're looking at about 121 hours.
That's affirmative. And we'll call you just as late as we can and still get what data we need to up to you before LOS.
Okay, real good. Thank you. We're right now just passing over, we're exactly over Masculine. Here's Masculine B up ahead. And we've got the Sidewinder real over on the right. We've got that's Diamondback on the right, Sidewinder's on the left. And this whole chain of craters leading up to site too. And again, if you didn't hear, but down low there, it doesn't look near as rough and as rugged out here in the Maury area as it does in the other parts. It's pretty well chained up.
Well, that really sounds good, Tom. Jack Schmidt standing here, he says that he's setting up some briefings when you guys get back. This time you're going to be briefing him.
Okay, and I think we can sure tell the difference between old and new craters the way it decides slumps in. It was very obvious. Those pictures came out, we'll show him some boulders and tell him that Cincinnatus A has some nice, great big, both white and black, huge boulders on both the inside of the rim and quite a few. Well, most of them are on the outside of the rim, but it's pretty rugged country, and stay away from Cincinnatus A there.
Okay, we copy that. Up a replacement, Gino.
But right now it's still pretty interesting.
Okay, we'll leave you up there a while yet.
We just went over Moki and we got Sabine and Ritter right underneath us.
Roger that.
You might tell Jack that US-1, when you get down close, compared it to runways from about 50,000 feet, must be close to 1,000 feet across.
Roger, we copy.
Yeah, I'd say it.
Houston, if Jack Schmidt's still there, we're passing over the crater. We got a named after him. It's right past Ritter and Sabine. And right here, you can see some tremendous boulders down on the outside rim there. They're great big white ones. I'd say they're tall. To see it from this altitude, and they've got long shadows on them. They're at least, what, 100 feet or more in diameter. And down near the bottom, you can see where the sides are slumping in. It's more like a tailings off a mine. And the sides are white and gray. You can see fractured structure in there, too. We got some pictures of it. Over.
Very good. We copied all that, Tom. Thank you.
And right now, we're still just looking at US-1 as it disappears over into the Terminator. It's
Roger. Tom, speaking of the cameras, do you have any of those camera problems you want us to try and work on tonight? It sounded like you had some problems other than film packs. Is there anything that we can help you out with trying to figure out tonight?
Joe, those were pre-flight problems. And the main thing, the backs we could see weren't fitted to the camera and run through. And my batteries onto my Hasselblad went dead just as I got to the site. I hope I got some pictures of it. I got all the approaches into it. Over.
Very good. I understand, Tom.
And tell Jack tomorrow we're going to get him a picture of this. But US-1 suddenly jumped sideways up here. And maybe that's the strike slip fault he's been looking for, but it suddenly jumped sideways. You can see it. Or else there's maybe just another one has gone into it.
Okay.
And it fades out. But it's been elevated in certain areas here.
Roger, copy. That's good to hear. And on the cameras, Tom, if you run into a problem tomorrow, you want both Hasselblads available. Jack says you can put one battery in each camera, and it should operate okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll give that a try tomorrow. We'll be all ready to go after them. And what we're doing now is we're passing the Terminator. We're going to go ahead and sack out tonight. So it's been a long day. And we're just watching, still loving to watch the moonscape go by and observing here as we go over to the Terminator. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow morning, over.
Okay, mighty fine, Tom. That sounds good. And we'll talk to you some more about data and stuff in the morning. On your LCL recovery checklist, before you backpack that stuff all the way. Tomorrow we'll just go through them and you can just call down the item numbers and let me know where you have them stowed so we can work out your CG. Over.
Okay, will do.
And I guess that's about it. We want you to know you guys did one whale of a job today. You just really did us all proud. The big troops on the back row walked out of here shaking their heads and grinning from ear to ear. They could have eaten a banana sideways and never touched it.
Well, great. That makes us real happy. It was a heck of a workload. One thing I wanted to check on, it looked like on board, Joe, that the landing radar did a great job on locking on at a pretty good altitude and performing all the way through. They got any word on that yet? Over.
Roger. That agrees with what we were looking at down here, Tom. It looked like it performed just real well.
Okay, now, one reason I wasn't able to hold that right on exactly 10 degrees, but was off a few tenths, even up to 1 degree, the rate needles on the attitude air indicator weren't calibrated. So when I had a zero pitch rate, actually it ended up at the end, I calibrated it just before docking, it was 0.3 degree off. And I was trying to just eyeball that and eyeball the disky, but I think we got to what we wanted within the local horizontal reference there, over.
Okay, we copied all that.
Yeah, also, just a couple more comments. You want a real ride, that Ascent engine was, I guess we've had the longest burn on it to date, and it takes you on quite a little pinch and yaw excursion there as you take off. I mean, it continues on, you know, the way it's just with a non-gimbling engine, but yet it burned out beautifully on residuals, but you're really hiccuping back and forth in that bear. It was quite a ride for 15 seconds. Over.
I'll bet. Yeah, I bet it got pretty sporty there towards that. You had a pretty light vehicle there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, just one pulse and bings, you go bang, and it really takes off. And also, the vehicle's so light that you noticed all the structure shaking when you fire and pulse. And it sounds just like you're in a rain, inside of a rainwater tub with somebody beating on it with a bongo drum.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's quite a machine.